We are. We're live and going.
Is you out there?
All right. Yeah. We're ready. We're a half a minute early, but let's start the roll call.
Bennett?
Here.
Burt?
Here.
Kapler?
Here.
Here.
Here. Okay. Do we have anyone that would like to review and approve the minutes from the last meeting?
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve the minutes of January 16th.
Do we have a second?
I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second to approve the minutes from the last meeting. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. The minutes are approved. Okay, welcome everyone to the Plan and Zone Commission meeting for tonight, February 20th, 2013. We are usually a seven-member body, but there are a few of us missing tonight, appointed by the mayor and confirmed by the city council. We review rezoning requests, preliminary and final plats, site development, landscape plans, and plan unit development. There are a number of you in the audience tonight, so if you have something to contribute or participate at the time we get through that in the meeting, I would ask you to step to the podium to your left and my right and advise us of your address and name and provide the input. So with that, Mr. Gregg, we will start the meeting.
Mr. Chairman, the first case before us is brought to us by Copper Ridge Properties. It's a completion of this portion of this area here at the northeast or southeast corner of Devil's Glen and Forest Grove Drive. This area is zoned A1 right now. The area below it has already been developed, or it's being developed, and that's as R3. The petitioner is requesting that this area here be changed over to R3 zoning, as currently it's A1. The land use is what facilitates that change. And what you have is a medium density residential parcel. That this whole area was medium density residential up until this point, and then running across to the east along Forest Grove Drive. This is the area requested as rezoned or for rezoning to an R3 single family and two family residence district. The area below already is. And since it's comparable to that zoning, one can place within that district single family lots if they'd like to. It doesn't have to be two family, and that's what we see throughout this concept plan. Staff reviewing this report supports the petitioner's request for the rezoning. I would ask, are there any questions?
Okay. Anyone on the commission have questions regarding this proposal? Pretty straightforward. Seeing none, do I have any questions or comments from anyone in the audience regarding this case tonight? Seeing none, I would entertain a motion from the commission.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve case number 13-003, subject to the staff recommendations.
We have a second.
I'll be happy to second.
Ann is a second. Okay. We have a motion and a second to approve case number 13-00-3, subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Motion passes. Okay.
The next case before us concerns a parcel that is to the east of Middle Road, would be south of any Hopewell extension coming over here, and then would be to the west of Criswell. It's this area right here. It's in light green, and it's being proposed as being changed from A1 to R1. This is the land use map right here, showing this whole area here is traditional residential. And then, of course, over here you have your office research campus area, medium density residential up here. And then throughout mostly Century Heights additions, that's traditional residential. That's why the petitioner is requesting this R1 zoning at this location. So you can see much of the area is either A1 or R1 surrounding. And we have, I believe, 118 lots within this area. The other portion here has seven additional lots, so there's about 125 total lots in the area that's being requested for rezoning. The Hess property will remain here as a farmstead till such time as they decide to go to another location. Potential is that the build-out will occur throughout, and at such time as the Hess family decides to leave, then this would probably be the last parcel to maybe get changed in terms of the development of that site. It does retain the 5 acres necessary for it being considered to be a conforming A1 type parcel. This is just to give you an idea of how the area here, the meets and bounds parcel that we're looking at, eventually be brought in as a preliminary plat, and also will later be on as a final plat of various sections of this particular subdivision or proposed subdivision. Staff, in reviewing this application, recommends your approval with the conditions that are listed in the report. Are there any questions?
Yeah, I have one in general, I guess, Greg, when it talks about thoroughfare plan access in anticipated from Hopewell. Can you talk about that? Because Hopewell's not there today, right?
No. We're looking, as city is right now, at what measures we would have to take to extend Hopewell. There is partial right-of-way on the south side and then full right-of-way right here. The design would be to bring Hopewell straight across and take this, eliminate that. I think we've shown that on previous plats that that would be eliminated, and then Hopewell extension eventually coming all the way over here. But we are looking at, in terms of our CIP, trying to acquire the right-of-way and then making sure we have this extension in so that this area below can be developed, so that there is a major or somewhat of a collector street access back out of this. There might be more of like a maze type access to try to get in here and then negotiate through this area. So I believe Mr. Connors can maybe further elaborate on what may happen with Hopewell extension.
I don't believe that the Hopewell plans are completed yet. I know there's some preliminary work that's been done. I do know that there's right-of-way that needs to be obtained. Before the preliminary plat comes forward to you, we'd like to have discussions with the developer as to how this is going to be phased. If you can move that concept, no, you can't, Greg. No. But there's only one way in right now, and that's off of,
right here.
Right here, Clockhouse Road, because Hopewell doesn't exist. So we're always very concerned when you don't have multiple ways in and out of housing additions. So that's just some of the discussion we're going to have at staff level prior to the preliminary plat coming forward to you for your review.
Okay. So from a timing standpoint, would the development still be able to proceed without the completion of Hopewell?
Well, I think we would allow, my opinion, we haven't had the discussion yet, my opinion, we'd allow limited development there.
Okay.
The property doesn't go all the way down to where the extension of 53rd goes through.
Right.
The applicant doesn't own that. So have just one other option, and that would be the connection to Hopewell.
And then one other question on my part then, Greg. You'd mentioned that I think you said Hess property remains compliant for a 5-acre A1, but it'll still be rezoned but non-conforming to the new zoning then?
That'd be correct.
Okay.
As long as they wanted to undertake any type of activities on site that would be like ag-related, that's where it would be non-conforming potentially, and then also maybe water and sewer.
Okay. Any other questions by members of the commission? Seeing none. Anyone in the audience wish to address us in regard to this case? Yes, sir. No, please, maybe you missed to the podium in the back there on your left, and then just give us your name and address and your interest in the case, please.
Hi, my name is Adam Judd, and we live at 5487 Judge Road, which is basically the corner of Clockhouse and Judge. So the question that our family had was around access to this, and if this is contingent upon 53rd being extended as well. which I kind of
We'll have to address that with Bill then.
Oh, okay.
53rd, this property is not contiguous to where 53rd would extend.
Okay.
So the logical connection of any type of collector's type street would be the extension of Hopewell Avenue to the north of this parcel.
Okay. The question we have, being on the kind of the corner of Judge and Clockhouse, which I heard you say would that would be the main access point to this development if someone was coming from 53rd?
That's correct. And I went further on to say that we wanted to speak with the developer about phasing of this and try to accelerate our schedule for the extension of Hopewell Avenue.
Yep.
To try and accommodate the full build out of this subdivision.
Is there any plans to extend 53rd towards, is that Chris Swell that kind of comes down?
I can tell you the city has no plans to do that at this time. If somebody comes in and wants to develop adjacent to it, then that might change our mind.
Okay. The main question maybe from our standpoint would be with a significant development back there with, we've already had, and not through our family, but others, I know there's been some concerns with speeding on Judge, so there's been some, which happens I guess in all neighborhoods, but with that being the main access point to a pretty significant development, that's our concern really for myself and many of our neighbors, mainly from a safety standpoint, to have.
Your concern is staff's concern.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you. Anyone else in the audience with a comment in regard to this case? Okay, seeing none, I would entertain a motion then.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve case number 13-004, subject to the staff recommendations.
Second?
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case number 13-004, subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. That motion passes. Okay, Greg?
The next case up is will be Hopewell First Edition, and this is a replat. It's an area we've discussed before a number of times. It's right up here, part of the old Fountains Fourth Edition. You have Devil's Glen Road, and then you have Hopewell Avenue right here, and it's just to the southeast of that intersection. And this is the Fountains Fourth Edition. The lots that are addressed here, the report I believe misstated that they were lots 69 through 74 that were included. In fact, they are not included, but up to lot 68, we've got 11 through 28 and 51 through 68. They're all in this sort of drab olive or green color, and that is the area that in fact is under consideration tonight as part of a replatted area. You already went through this preliminary plat before, and this just simply shows some of the layouts of various units and then lots involved. All the area in green here is the area that is under discussion tonight. And what we have is the lots laid out right here. Throughout, this is changed right here, the right-of-way area, essentially. So what we're looking at is a new right-of-way that was brought in, the overlaying the old design that was on the former plat, Fountains 4th Edition. The lots are pretty much going to remain the same. We did see the documentation that was required removing certain covenants, restrictions from the lots as they were in Fountains 4th Edition. And that's why the developer is now looking at this area here to essentially change that design to some extent and place on the structures that he wants to put on, whereas these down here still have the covenants affixed. Staff, in looking at this and reviewing this particular action, recommends approval. I would ask, are there any questions?
Any questions from the commission?
I have a conceptual question, I guess. If I'm a property owner in the area that we're not discussing, how am I different than the people who will be in the area that we are discussing?
I believe that the age requirements have been removed, the restrictions per age. I believe it was 55 was the earliest anyone could enter in as an owner. I believe those are removed now. There's certain design standards that I believe may have been removed to some extent, but it's essentially to give more freedom to the design, as well as removing the restrictions as to age are going to be the two biggest factors.
And from a design standpoint, I guess, too, being familiar with that area out there, there's some substantial challenges in the grade. Any information we've got on how they're going to deal with those grades or the retaining walls that are going to be put in Hopewell?
I don't know if Mr. Dolan is here. His engineer, I know, is here, and he might be able to speak to that.
The question is, are we going to put retaining walls along Hopewell? Is that what you said?
Yeah, in particular, Mr. Dolan, on the north end of that property, there's substantial ramp up to the other grade of Hopewell, and I'm just trying to get a vision of how you're going to develop into the hill like that.
There's going to be quite a bit of fill brought in there to alleviate that change in grade there. So that's how we're handling it.
Okay, it's coming up, not being cut back. It's coming up.
That's correct.
Okay. And what's the red we're seeing there? Those are the ones, Greg, that are
those
still
are excluded, yeah.
That's the excluded. Okay. All right. That was the only question I had. Anyone else in the commission? No? Anyone else in the audience have any comments? Yes, sir.
Ted Fife, 3662 Thunder Ridge Road. I'm wondering if Mr. Dolan or some of the staff maybe can ask the question or answer the question regarding the berming to the south of that development we're discussing and the drainage situation as well, because those of us who live in the fountains, and that's myself and my wife, further to the south, we're concerned about the drainage and the berming, some kind of a deflecting feature, land feature, that might delineate the separation between the existing fountains line and what he's developing.
The developer's talking with the engineer right now.
This area was all designed and that the drainage system is all designed and engineered. So we're per city standards for water flow and detention. We don't, if you looked at the grant, we don't have any provision to put a berm in between this land and the other land. The way it lays out, I don't believe that would be possible.
Ted, does that address your question?
Well, not entirely. I think those of us who reside in the existing area in the fountains would be concerned about that, because I think obviously this is going to be developed for families, you know, obviously younger, under 55, and that's our particular area south of that area, that location. So I'm wondering what fashion can that development discourage young children from freely exercising their legs and their whatever parts of their body to move further south. I guess I'm wondering about what kind of privacy or some kind of, and I'm not trying to suggest there's a security factor here in terms of what the kids might do, but I guess that, you know, we have our own fountains area circumscribed within that area south, and I'm just wondering just what kind of expectations we can have in terms of families, namely the younger members of the family, to be discouraged from moving in that direction. Now, we have a pond out there. You folks on the Planning and Zoning Commission, I think Mr. Connors knows, as well as Greg Jaeger, that we have a pond further to the south and east. And that certainly is going to be a drawing point. It certainly is a drawing point right now for the people living in the residential areas to the east of where we are. So there's that kind of concern, I think, on the part of us. I mean, I don't want to come up here and say we're a hand-eye children, but I think what we're saying is we're wondering just what kind of feature could be put in there for the developer to consider, give a serious consideration to, before that is finalized.
We don't have any provisions in the design. It's obviously private property. There's nothing to stop children from going there now. There's a school across the street. There's neighborhoods all around it. What the fountain zone is private property, and we don't have any barriers to isolate these homes from that. I guess I can't add any more.
And I'll step out here a little bit and say, Ted, I don't believe there's any city requirement that there be any berms or anything between these properties and the adjacent fountain property.
No ordinance requirement.
No ordinance requirements, better stated. Thank you. Anyone else from the audience with comments in regard to this case? Seeing none, I would entertain a motion on case number 13005.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve case 13005, subject to staff recommendations.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case number 13005, subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Motion passes. Okay. Next one, Mr. Gregg.
This is Valley Winds 7th edition. And you'd seen a preliminary plat on the Phase 2 area. You come up through Devil's Glen Road. You got Forest Grove Drive up here. And essentially, you're looking at this area right here, which is just north of the Valley Wind 6th edition. This is a preliminary plat, and this is a water feature here that's going to be added to the site. Mainly it's going to be in this area right here where it'll be a retention pond. It may have some detention capabilities, but that is effectively being taken care of down here in this outlot and then over here in this outlot for the most part. The area outlined here in green is the platted, proposed final platted area. And this just shows more of the topo as it's outlined with the potential detention area over here for the future and then potential future single family located there. This is the final plat and showing the lot layout, Cardinal Road to be extended in this area, and then you have Crow Ridge Road coming up from the south, and then Blackbird Lane extending further north. I believe it's sometime in the future, as the next addition is built, we will require the networking from up here, Forest Grove Drive, so that there'll be a connection coming off of that, and that this subdivided area here will connect this up here, the collector, with the subdivision interior. Staff, in looking at this proposal, recommends approval with the conditions that are listed in the report. I would ask, are there any questions?
Any questions from the commission?
Greg, I do have a question just to be sure I understand this. On the preliminary plat, in that Lot A that's on the screen right now,
mm-hmm.
in the southeast corner. There, that picture. Oh, can you, there we go. Thank you. That pink area that shows the detention phase two, and that, talk to us about that. What's that about?
I believe that the overflow, and the engineer for the petitioners here, I'm thinking it might go like this, if I'm not mistaken. I think we had a contingency that if it did go over through this pipeline easement, that an agreement would be required between the owner of the pipeline and the developer in order to permit that flow, then to come down here to this detention basin. But I would defer to the engineer and see if what his recollection is on the overflow potential necessary for this. I believe there is some overflow that comes down this direction.
He's going to clarify it for us.
Hi, Eric Longlip, Kluwer Engineering, representing the owners of the property. Greg was pretty close on that. The outlet structure of the pond or the wetted detention is in the southeast, and then the pink area there is going to be the overland flow. There's currently a 60-inch pipe underneath the existing road heading to the existing detention, which is south of there. So we're just overland flowing it between the two areas.
Okay, thank you.
Greg, while you've got that map up there, what zoning is adjacent to this property to the east?
This is C5 here, and then there's C1 at the corner here.
And so do we, it's a little hard to say, do we have any lots adjacent to the C5? Or it's really on the other side of the street?
We don't have anything here within this subdivision. Now, when the next phase gets built out, there may be these two lots right here, and then this area right here where there might be an issue.
So no special,
and that would be pretty much the boundary would have to be, the buffer area would have to be placed up here if and when that gets developed by that type of zoning class.
That's where I'm going. Yep. So no issue from this
particular? No, there's no obligation on this developer for putting up buffer areas adjacent to that.
Okay. Those are the only questions I had. Anyone else in the commission? Anyone else in the audience regarding this case? Yes, we've got one.
My name is Chris Kane. I live at 3404 Crow Lake Drive. I actually live just to the west of the pink area there in the pipeline easement. Right there. You had originally drawn a yellow line just, I guess, on the west side of that pipeline easement. Is that just incorrect? It, essentially, what is there today is what that drainage flow is going to look like? Okay. And then I did have a question. I don't know if we're coming to that. I'd seen earlier the C-zoned property there to the east of this new Valley Wind section. What is that zone? What is that zone for? What type of development would go in there in the C?
This is C5 right here, office transitional.
Okay.
And then there's additional area up here further that is zone C1, which is local shopping district.
So, Greg, could you give him a couple examples of what uses would be
C5
in the C5?
Would just be mainly offices like a doctor's office or insurance office, something of that nature. Very little retail unless it's off a supply store. C1 is more of a local type use. I don't know that you can have gas pumps unless you would have a special use permit, but typically that area is really smaller, meant for smaller type retail, you know, like a convenience store that may not have gas pumps or something like that. But again, you could have gas pumps, I believe, if it's a special use in that district. But it's for a very low intent or very low intensity type commercial on the corner. And again, that would be buffered substantially by the C5 here.
And at this point in time, that C5 area, C1 area is not, there's not a current plan for that as far as what's being presented tonight or in.
That's correct.
We haven't received anything.
Okay. Thank you.
Are you going to get along?
Just to follow up, I loaded up the city code very briefly. The C1 district would include such things as apparel stores, dairy product store, delicatessen, dry goods store, floral shop, grocery and food store, ice cream store, meat market, toy store, convenience store, having no gas pumps or car wash, dry cleaners, shoe repair, could be a bank, savings and loan, real estate office, attorney's offices, dentist's offices, medical dental clinics, and other quasi-public uses such as church or post office would all be permitted uses within the C1 district. In other words, they'd simply be allowed as a matter of right. Special uses in a C1 would include a drive-in banking facility indoor theater might be a special use in a C1 district. But those would be the kinds of things that would be at the corner.
Okay, thank you. And just one quick follow-up. I thought about just above, just north of that pink area, there's that little kind of curved, it's going to be, I guess, a sloping area kind of there. Is that just going to be open area, grass area? Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Chris. Any other questions from the audience, from the commission?
Would you like a motion?
I would love a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve case 13006, subject to the staff recommendations.
I would second.
We have a motion and a second to approve case 13006, subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign, motion carries. Okay. Are we there? We have one more, Greg.
I think we're there.
Commission update, Mr. Connors.
Mr. Chairman, subsequent to your recommendation at the last meeting for approval of the villas at Glen Gevland, second edition, version 2, the City Council concurred with your recommendation and approved that. That's all I have.
Wow. That was quick. All right. I guess everybody go home and get their snow shovels ready in case it snows tomorrow, and we're adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.
Nicely done, sir.